Live from the Eyes of the Skies Festival in Lyle, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we got. Set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, bugs in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go
live. You hear the echo?
In Lyle, live
from Lyle. I gotta say, since Joe Romano joined us, the weird, hip bumper music has gotten much better. You know?
The weird. He's called the weird.
Well, because 99 Luftballoons was like a Nana hit. I don't know that version, Joe. Who did that? Joe Romano back at the tower. Is he looking it up right now? I can't see him from here because we're in Lyle.
He might be getting in front of a microphone.
Oh, okay. Right.
I think the studios, there's some
all
different
the
stuff going on
here.
There.
It's not the normal configuration.
He's in a different studio this morning than normal.
Never mind then, Joe. Never mind. By the way, we met Joe's family. That's the highlight of the morning so far.
It is. His mom and sister have offered to come on and tell stories.
Yeah, which Joe is already moving out of the country.
We did get a little. His mom said that she was not allowed to come down for Mother's Day show.
That's inside information.
And Joe told me, yeah.
Right?
Joe had said that she wasn't able to come down.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to the bottom of that. Live from Lyle, today's show from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival features hot air balloon launches and fireworks and more. Fireworks are until tonight, are they? I could set off some morning fireworks.
We're trying to get the morning fireworks lit up right now.
Let me introduce the band. Mark Harmon, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. Good to see you. I've never seen this many balloons in my life. I don't think I've ever actually been this close to any one hot air balloon, so this is a big moment for me.
I can't believe a show business icon like you has never been offered the opportunity to go up.
It's a very good point. It's actually stunning. I was thinking about that coming out here. How have I not been offered this opportunity? But today's the day, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. You got pull around here?
I do. Justin Kaufman, you've not been up either?
No, Joe Romano has pull.
Really?
Because he's from here, but he's not here with
us. Yeah, this is his town.
This is his town. So he had to go down to the studio to do the tech side, and we came out here.
Right, hanging out with his family.
Yeah, I own that. But I have done this before. There he is.
He owns his town.
He owns his town. Mayor Romano.
Joe, what was the deal where you wouldn't let your mom come down for the Mother's Day show?
Nobody said that.
Secret information.
She's not. She's very confident with the driving situation. So
she's not confident with the driving. So you were trying to stop her for your mom's own safety.
I think I said maybe you shouldn't. And she was like, "All right, I won't."
She was like, "All right, I won't."
Oh, she took the out. My mom's not confident in driving either, but my dad brought her down.
Let me tell you something right now. Your mom has her hands on her hips in the "you're in trouble, boy" mom position.
Yeah, a lot of finger wagging. Yeah.
No question about Pete's here, but Pete's pretending he's working, so we won't bother. That was Sandberg you heard, of course. Adam's making sure everything's plugged in, and now he's texting someone and not paying attention. Oh, that's it. We got to get to the top six so we can get to Manfredini. Let's do it now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The town of Annapolis, one of America's oldest cities and one of the coolest towns you could ever visit, rocked yesterday by another mass shooting. 100 and how many this year, Justin? Did you catch the number? 143, 153. A mass shooting is defined as anywhere that three people or more are shot, and we have had, I believe, about 150 so far this year. Five dead, others seriously injured. And we don't know why, right? We don't know anything at this point other than we know it's a
the
guy
only
in his mid-30s.
Yeah. The guy, the stories that are coming out is that he had a long-standing beef with the paper.
Wrote a lot of nasty letters, had a couple of lawsuits involved, and another nut with a gun.
The Twitter accounts, of course, of the reporters who were trapped under their desks and were tweeting live or reporting and doing what they do, having to ironically have to cover their own mass shooting was horrifying.
Yeah, completely, because you got it in real time, which is, it's frightening, it's scary, it's awful. And there's no reason. I mean, five people go to work yesterday, they don't come home.
You know, and the other thing, can I speak just as a journalist here? This happens a lot to us. We get threats all the time, whether it's on social media, and whether it's just somebody being silly or whatever. But this happens all the time. And it's like, when do you take this stuff seriously? When you get a threat like this, like I'm guessing they did yesterday, how do you know that that's going to be the day?
Yeah, exactly right. Because, and also, what do you do? You know, you got a threat that comes in. I've been threatened by text. Right. You know, on this job. And what are you going to do? You're just going to look out the window till they show up? Because 99.9% of the time, it's just somebody blowing off steam or just being a jerk.
Rob Feeder just reported, his piece just came out now, saying that the Tribune in Chicago has tightened their security protocol in the wake of the shooting yesterday.
That seems wise. Moving on, Donald Trump Jr. was in town. Visited City Hall for a meeting about retail space in Trump Tower. What retail space? Like for an Ivanka thing? Does Donald Trump Jr. have a store?
I bet he has a store, Steve. I'm guessing that Donald Trump Jr. has a store. It's called Junior's, and it's going to be long ties. It'll be long ties.
Super long ties, all of them red.
Yeah, and the steaks that have expired from the Trump steak, so now he gets...
Okay. You know, about Trump Magazine.
And Trump Magazine's in there.
I read that part of the thing that he wants to do or wanted to do, he wants to put a nightclub on the retail space that's near the river. And I think the alderman, Brendan Riley, said, no.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is there anyone that exemplifies a nightclub impresario more than Donald Trump Jr.?
There's Billy Jack.
Donald Trump Jr.
I mean, Donald Trump Jr., if this was Studio 54 and it was 1978, possibly. it doesn't make sense in any way, shape, or form. Was his girlfriend there from Fox?
I don't know.
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
You pay attention to all the gossip of who the girlfriend is.
Well, it's not going to know everything.
You got to know everything.
Kimberly Guilfoyle, who at one point was married to the guy that's going to be the next governor of California. She is Donald Trump Jr.'s new girlfriend.
I have to be honest.
Let me go to Sandberg.
She knows more than that.
Is there anything attractive about Donald Trump Jr.?
No.
All right, back to me. Next. Mr. Trump, the president, was in Wisconsin yesterday and talking up the Foxconn factory.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know, by the way, if that's a good thing for the people of Wisconsin?
There are two sides to everything, Steve. Many believe that this will generate jobs, and many believe that it's way too much of a handout to the company. There's billions of dollars of tax incentives that were given to the... I mean, it's something like $1,000 per taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin.
And they said 15,000 jobs, and I think the Wisconsin Journal Sentinel said it was $200,000 in tax breaks per job.
Per job. So it's the same thing like we have
That's
here in Chicago,
problem.
In Illinois with Amazon. Like, how much are you willing to give to bring a company to your state? And the state of Wisconsin said $200,000 per job.
President Trump also warned Harley-Davidson again, and Harley said, and? Next. Marathon talks overnight. The EU announced early today that, they had an agreement, in principle anyway, which undermines the EU bloc. This is all post-Brexit stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to you on it as soon as it's more Brexity. Meanwhile, we are live in Lisle, so that's really a big item.
I see a balloon is lifted off a little there.
Oh,
I think that's one of the tethered ones.
Yeah.
And, Steve, this will surprise you, but we already have a gallery up at WGNRadio.com.
What?
Yep, so people can check out the photos.
Amazing. Justin, just so you know, she loves the gallery. She puts them up all the time.
And smart.
People like to see what it looks like.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Get
it's
thousands
already there.
Of hits already.
Well, I'm eating donuts and seeing what might be available in free coffee. Mary's doing her job.
So. Yeah. Right. I should probably get credit for that. Next, Uptown Theater is going to be restored. Are you excited about that?
I am. That's a beautiful theater. I've been inside there. It's been decrepit for years, decades, if not. I don't know the last time that doors have been open on that place. But this is also one of those stories, Steve, where every 2 years somebody has a plan for the Uptown Theater. And there's a big headline that says, they are renovating the theater. Yay!
Do you
Uptown
buy this
is
one?
Back. I don't know. This one, it's hard to say. They're all the same to me until... We see the renovation taking place. This is a very old building, and there are a lot of problems with that building. And people have tried this before. It's almost like...
You sound like you're talking about the Tribune Tower.
Yeah, it's The Tribune Tower at least has a nice lobby.
Yeah.
The Uptown Theater. $75 million.
Yeah, the Uptown Theater is like literally at the end of my block, and so I'm watching this very closely. It's very exciting to see that this might happen, but as Justin mentioned, there's if you drive by, they actually have plastic down the sides of the building to catch the bricks that might be falling off of it. It's in that bad of shape. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, let's wrap it up. That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies, we'll have Lou joining us in just a second. If you want to be the first caller, it's 312-981-7200. If anybody here listening has a question for Lou Manfredini, now would be the time.
Mr. Fix-It.
We'll put you on the radio with us live from Lyle.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Mr. Manfredini.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Live and Lyle. Couldn't be better.
I know. I have a little...
Wait, listen to the crowd. Go crazy, people. Go crazy.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! It's hard to...
Go ahead.
Lou, I was going to tell you, it's hard to give you a complete estimate, but there's over 100,000 people here just to see
wow.
us.
Wow. You're like...
the balloons.
Like Poplar Creek.
Yes. All right, so here we go. We got somebody here that's going to ask you a question first.
You don't want to hear my story about Lyle?
Got a Lyle story?
Well, I get a little twitch every time I think about the city of Lyle, because years ago when I was a young man building with Joe's Uncle Fergie, Super Joe's Uncle Fergie, we built a redwood pergola in the beautiful city of Lyle. It was gorgeous. Super Joe knows where we got all that redwood from.
Justin, do you know what a redwood pergola is?
I'm guessing
those are those pretty things you put over your patio.
Right.
It's got posts usually, and then they go across and you grow stuff on it.
So it's not a bandstand.
Super Joe's grandfather was the king of redwood and cedar, just so we know.
Oh, okay.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Super Joe's family knows wood. I do know.
Oh, it's a layman's gazebo.
And so when we got we built.
I was in a band called Layman's Gazebo.
So we got done, and we charged the people $1,500 for this. Now, mind you, this is back in the 80s, and when we went to go pay for all the redwood, it cost us $1,700.
good solid move for the profit.
I was quite the businessman back then.
Nicely played by you. Which, by the way, reminds me, if you go into Lou's Ace Hardware store today, everything is less than Lou paid for it.
Right. So. That's right, exactly.
So feel free. All right, so we got somebody here who wants to ask you a question. Do we have a name of this individual?
Julie.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thanks.
Julie, I'm trying to spot you. Where are you?
I'm way over here.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Julie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. What's your question for Lou?
My question is, how long does Masonite siding last?
Oh, and I love how dramatic you were in the way you toned. Well, how long does Masonite siding last?
Lou? I mean, if it's maintained well and caulked and painted, it can last a very, very long time. I mean, decades. But because it can get breached by moisture, it tends to puff up and get brittle and break. So there's no, I can't give you a definitive answer, but I mean, I've worked on
houses. We need an exact day and time.
32 years.
32 years, okay.
How old is yours?
My Masonite siding is pretty old. And can you
wait, how old? We need a definitive answer.
60.
Oh, 60, wow. And you went twice as long as I said.
Yes. Ah!
And what were you going to say?
Can you put aluminum siding over it?
Can you put aluminum siding over it?
Yeah, aluminum siding is not that common anymore. It's mostly vinyl. You could. The issue there is when you get to the windows, you end up having to do a lot of capping because now the wall thickness has gotten bigger. If this is something that you haven't, you're going to live in this house for a while, the better job is to remove all the siding, make any repairs underneath the siding that may be there due to any kind of water damage, and then you'll get a better job overall, in my opinion. It costs more, obviously, to do that, but it's not percentage-wise. It's probably just going to add about 10 to maybe 15% to the total job.
Right now, Joe Romano's nephew is rushing the broadcast site. Thank you for that. What did she win? Did you tell me what she won? What did she win? Samber, turn your mic on. What did she win?
The April Wi-Fi April thermostat. Air.
Oh, yes. Right. Lou, how do we describe that?
Well, it's an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that you can control the temperature from your smartphone, and it's provided by American Weathermakers at 855-955-HVAC.
I do the happy dance now.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, look at that. She is doing a happy
She's
dance.
She's doing a happy dance here at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies. Nice job by you.
One. Come on.
Come on, people, happy
Come on,
dance.
Lyle, let's go.
Trying to get her mother to dance, and her mother just grounded her. Thank you very much for that. Justin, are you an owner or do you rent?
I am an owner.
So you don't have anything wrong with your house?
I do have something wrong with my house. My wife says it's a big problem. I say it's nothing.
Okay.
And it's water related, so we can talk about it.
Oh, it's completely, he's got water in the basement. Is that right?
It's not in the basement,
no.
No, there's a little leak off of the bathtub. And the question we have is whether or not that means I need to figure out quickly how to put a short-term Band-Aid on it, or if I have to spend like $150,000 to redo the whole house.
He's got a leak in his bathtub.
That's where we're at, Lou. Somewhere in between there.
Got it. Well, there's a couple things you can do to test that out. You know, one is if it only leaks, if you fill the tub and stop the water up, see if it leaks then. With only, you know, 2-3 inches of water. If it leaks then we know the leak is by the drain. If it only leaks when you're showering, then it could be a breach, more than likely where the tile or the walls meet the tub.
Yeah.
That needs to be removed and re-caulked. So neither one of those costs $150,000.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for that. You made my weekend,
there
Lou.
You go.
You made my weekend.
But assuming your wife's not listening now, you could tell her it did anyway.
I'll try. I'll go home and I'll go, Lou told me it's not $150,000. And she'll go, well, what does Lou know?
What is he?
And then I'll be like, all right, you know you're what? Right. I can't win.
I agree.
Lou, we're going to go back and play with the balloons. See you on TV.
Have fun.
See you later. That's Lou Manfredini. He's on Channel 9 this morning and on the radio, more importantly, every Saturday morning, starting at 7 with the Lou Manfredini dance party. Today's show, live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival, features hot air balloon launches and all sorts of stuff. We hope you make it to Lyle this morning or anytime over the next couple of days, because this is a very unique, cool event. You're in the flatlands to see all these hot air balloons.
Can you hear? I mean, we're so close on the microphones. We're right in front of the balloons. Do you hear, if you're out there listening, do you hear the psh?
The burners.
Psh, the burners of these. It's awesome. It's a great ambient sound.
Yeah. Well, when you're in the balloon between your screams and terror, they ought to be able to hear the the burners.
I can't wait.
Stand by. More coming up live from Lyle on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Beautiful day in Lyle, and it's always a beautiful day in Lyle, but today's a good day because you should come out for the kickoff of Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. We're live from Lyle. We're broadcasting, and 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. 6 hot air balloons. Make it 7 just from where I'm sitting. It's a beautiful thing to see, and a ton of people out here already. So come on out and see us. We're not hard to find, and there's going to be all sorts of cool stuff all weekend. Before we go to our guest, Mary Vandeveld, it's great to hear your voice back. And I know you don't want to talk about this because it's emotional for obvious reasons, but I just want to say it was wonderful to see all the people that showed up the other night for your mom. And you have a great family, and just wanted to say we're glad to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much. Everybody was wonderful. My GN family is phenomenal. Thank you so much for everybody who came. It really means a lot. Thanks.
All right. Now I'll stop talking about it.
Thank you. Enjoy those beautiful balloons out there.
There you go. Jesse Owuji is an amazing guy with an amazing life story already as he joins us on the phone. We got great NASCAR in town at the Route 66 Speedway this weekend. And Sunday is a big race if you're going out. And Jesse joins us now on the phone. Jesse!
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man. Congratulations on everything so far.
Thank you.
I have to talk about why you're in the news this week, separate from your profession. You know, for a guy that is a Navy guy who's seen plenty and done plenty, you're just driving down the road and you notice a car is in serious trouble. Pick up the story from there.
Yeah, so I was on my way back from Sonoma Raceway after I had a race there that weekend. It was a 6-hour drive back home, and I was probably in hour number 5, about an hour left in my drive, and saw a minivan pulled off to the side of the road and with a family of 4 next to it. And what I noticed, what I'm not sure if they really noticed, was there was a lot of fluid leaking from the motor. And I guess the motor had probably blown up, but the fluid leaking right underneath that was a small little fire that started basically kind of brewing up. And it wasn't really big at first, it was just a small little one. And it just initial thought was like, you know, just with race cars and being around that stuff, you know, the last few years, I just know how fire and flammable fluid and vehicle can erupt into flames within moments. So, you know, I pulled over to the side, reversed, got as close as I could to the vehicle, and ran over there. And, you know, my first thought was, okay, we're in California. There's a lot of dry brush around here. This could, you know, be more than just a car catching on fire. It could turn a lot of stuff on fire. So,
how many people were in the van, Jesse?
There was four of them. At this point, they were out of the van, but they were kind of going in and out of the van, like, you know, they
trying to get their stuff.
And, yeah, just get stuff, bring it out of the van, because I just don't think, like, just from the looks of it, it didn't look like they really realized that, hey, like,
yeah, of course,
this thing is going to erupt into flames. Like, I think they were just more like, okay, we have a broke down car, let's get our stuff out and call a tow truck and, you know, get out of here. And so I got over there, and first thought was, like, let me see if I can get this van into neutral and push it away from this fluid that's underneath it, because it's catching on fire. And we got there, and I couldn't really get in the neutral. I couldn't really push it. And the next thought was like, okay, we're going to get everyone away, because this is about to get pretty hairy pretty quick. And we got away, probably got a good 20, 30 yards away, turned around, and then the motor just erupted into flames.
Wow.
Front half erupted into flames, and then it reached to the fuel tank in the back, and then all of a sudden this thing was a huge burning inferno. I mean, it was a fireball. It was crazy, and it just kept on having these small little explosions, just one after another, which finally launched some fire into the brush nearby, and caught that on fire. So that was right, my right. Second fear right there.
Yeah, right.
And luckily, you know, we had already called the fire department and everything, and they just barely got there in time to start putting things out before the fire started spreading on the grass. But, it was pretty crazy. And, you know, what I did was, you know, for me, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, it's heroic and this and that. And for me, I don't see it like that. I just see it more as just doing the right thing. But what was really interesting was, this whole entire time, I think only one other person had stopped to try to check to see what was going on.
It's all of our responsibility. It's like, listen, even if you can't do something physically or aren't prepared to do something physically, when you see danger, it's all of our responsibility to stop and help in any way you can.
Exactly. And that wasn't happening. So, you know, you never know. I mean, I could have got there and there could have been an elderly person stuck in their vehicle.
Absolutely.
Maybe they're disabled. They can't get out. Their motor just blew up. It's really hot outside. Maybe they don't want to be outside because they, you know, might, you know, have overheating problems or whatever, something like that. Because this is the middle of California summer, you know, very dry, hot. You know, it's no joke. And, you know, I could have just imagine passing by and next, you know, somebody's vehicle burns up in flames or someone's stuck inside of it.
It's amazing.
And now their vehicle, it could happen to you at any time.
And the good news is, because you were good enough to stop and because the folks have listened, they're okay. They'll get a new van, but the important thing is they're okay.
Exactly. You know, and it's just, you know, just it really kind of opened my eyes and showed us how quickly things can get bad. And, you know, the fire, it's not a, you know, it's not a little, you know, wood fire. It's nothing like, I mean, when you start having fuel and oil and other fluids that aren't supposed to catch on fire, they burn and they keep burning. And there's not a lot that can stop it unless you have unless you have the fire department there. There's nothing else you can do. It was an eye opener. And getting to see it firsthand right there was pretty crazy. Yeah. And then I'm also glad, you know, all the brush that was nearby did not completely catch on fire. And yeah, it some of it did, and that was the next fear. And if it would have spread, there would have been a lot of buildings, a lot of homes, and a lot of brush that would have basically started another California-wide wildfire.
Here's the thing. Jesse's more relaxing event, other than that, is going to be to drive a race car 200 miles an hour this weekend in Joliet. We also want to talk about you being a Navy man and that as well. So hang with us one sec. We're going to get an update on what's coming up in the news here. More with Jesse Owuji. And don't forget, if you're going out Sunday, hydrate. It's going to be a hot one at the track, but nothing but fun. If you've never been to a race, you got to be there live to fully appreciate it.
Back to the Ice to the Skies Festival in Lisle.
Another big weekend in Chicago, like every summer weekend is, and in Joliet. Mark Carmen, jump in here, too. At the Route 66 Speedway, is this where all the good times are going to be this weekend?
It is, Steve. This is, you're talking about action starting today with an all-day situation in the afternoon. The garage opens, practices are going on, and then Saturday you've got the Overton 300 Xfinity race. That's at 3:30, and then Sunday you got the Overton 400 Cup race at 2:30. So action all weekend long. So yeah,
and it's going to be a great time, a hot time, but a great time for all. Jesse Owuji is on the phone. All right, Jesse, before we get into your driving and your NASCAR life, which is an amazing story in and of itself, your Naval Reserve now. So tell me about your time in the Navy.
Yeah, so been in the Navy since 2010. I graduated from the Naval Academy at that time. At the Naval Academy, I played football for 4 years. But once I became an officer in the Navy, I was a surface warfare officer, so I was operating the ships. I spent about 4 years on sea duty. So 2 years was with one ship where I went on a 10-month deployment to the Arabian Gulf, and the other 2 years was with another ship where I went on a 5-month deployment to the Arabian Gulf. Enjoyed that a lot, and during that time is when I also developed this crazy passion for cars, racing, and motorsports, and that's how I ended up landing, the opportunity to really start pursuing racing, and NASCAR was really the first door that opened up for me to do that.
Justin, jump in with Jesse Owuji.
You know, for you to be in the Navy and to, you played football and obviously your success with stock cars and NASCAR, what was it that drew you to racing? It seems like it's hard to see the jump to how you got from the Navy to football to this.
Yeah, so during college, during off-season and stuff like that, when I had some free time, I just started doing a whole bunch of research on cars and racing and all that stuff. I used to watch a whole bunch of videos on YouTube, like Top Gear and so on, and I just really started developing this passion for it. And once I graduated, I had bought like a car right when I graduated, and I started taking that to the local drag strips that I was racing at in Maryland and then in California. And then I started taking my car to some different road course tracks on open track days and having fun with that. And after a while of doing that, I was just like, you know what? Like, I have a little bit of skill. This is really cool, and I want to pursue racing. Like, I want to become a professional race car driver. So I was sitting in my room one day, January 2014. I stood up, walked up to my wall, and wrote on my whiteboard, become professional race car driver. And at that point, I really didn't know where to go or how to do it, but that's when, after I began putting a lot of effort, grind, and focus towards it, all these doors began really opening up kind of one by one. I met a guy at a car show who led me towards stock car racing. He was like, you should try this. I did a test with the team. It went well. Began running with that team right after my second deployment in late model stock cars, and then trying to work my way up from there. And now I'm racing at places like Chicagoland Speedway.
Hey, Jesse, one thing that a lot of vets that we talk to say that they have a hard time replicating a brotherhood kind of thing that they had while they were in the military. Does the racing provide a team for you that's that intimate?
Yeah, so it is. Yeah, the brotherhood, it's huge. Especially, I know back in at the Naval Academy, brotherhood, that's what we called our team. I mean, that's what we called our people that we played with. We were really tight, and we still hold it tight together nowadays. I know, a few of us who were in the brotherhood have since passed away. People that I played with, one recently, as actually a few months ago, passed away in a F-18 crash. But, you know, we definitely, you know, had a lot of, you know, camaraderie, you know, within the football locker room and even in the racing world. But there's also a brotherhood in the racing world, you know, all the whole racing family together, whether you're NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, you name it, we're all kind of in it together because we know the dangers of the sport. There's a brotherhood in the military. You know, we all, you know, you see a fellow service member, no matter what service they are, you know, we kind of recognize what each other does. And, you know, it's just kind of how it is.
We're fast running out of time here. Mark Carman, this weekend, as you laid out, it's a full weekend of activities. And, Jesse, when are you running, Saturday or Sunday?
I actually just ran on yesterday, last night.
Last night. All right, but you're slowing down?
Well, it didn't really go that great last night. We actually ended up having an oil pump fail on us pretty early in the race, so that kind of knocked us out. But, you know, the cool thing about the night was we were riding along last night with Aaron Toppin. His name, we had him on the car. He's a fellow service member who passed away recently during, I think, a training incident while he was on deployment. So, that was pretty bad. But his mom was there. She got to see, you know, the name on the car and watch it go around the track. And she was just super, super happy and excited just to see something like that, because one of the last things he got to do before he went on deployment was actually go to Chicagoland Speedway. So for her to come out and see this and see it on the car, it meant a lot to her.
It's great talking to you. And Mark Carman, Chicagoland Speedway all weekend. What's the website for the Speedway? Do you know, Mark, off the top of your head?
Steve, that's a great question. I do not know.
You're going to look that up for me?
I'll have it in sports in a matter of moments.
Yeah. So for
ChicagolandSpeedway.com.
So it's complicated then. ChicagolandSpeedway.com is where you can go for all of this. Jesse, good luck with the rest of the summer. Thanks for all that you've already done for this country, and thanks for stepping up for that family that needed you and didn't even know it on the side of the road this week. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's Jesse Owuji. A great story. And, you know, sort of like Kid of the Week. If you listen to everything Jesse's accomplished, while we're sitting around eating donuts, you know, and shooting our mouths off.
There's donuts?
Back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Eyes to the Skies Festival in Lyle, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out.
Mary and Justin and Mark, Pete, and Adam. Well, we're all here. Hanging out at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies back of the tower. That was Steve Grzanich, of course. Mary Vandeveld back. That's a great thing. And Joe's pushing the buttons and stuff. And who else is back there? Who's engineering this morning? Is it Bob?
Bob Ferguson. Yeah. Fergie.
All right, Bob. Thanks for getting up.
We just saw some skydivers practicing where they came down. You just watched them land right in front of us.
That's wow. Trailing that American flag banner. Yeah.
What, did they jump out of balloons? Friday.
They jumped around the balloons.
Where did they jump out of? I didn't actually see the exit.
I'm not
sure
they jumped. Yeah.
The sky.
Yeah.
The stork dropped them off.
Roger Leone is here. Roger was on the show with us the other day. He is the chairman of the entire shebang. That was one of my dad's words, the whole shebang. Oh, hold on. I had to hit the burner. Hold on. Okay, Roger. I just wanted to make sure the balloon was still flying.
That's what that is.
Roger, congratulations. Boy, the weather couldn't be better.
It's a perfect morning. I'm so happy it turned out this way. Our marketing director, Katie, does a fantastic job of getting everybody out here. And the balloons, it was a fantastic morning. And it still will be, too. It's great. Great weather.
Justin, is this your first Balloon Fest?
This is my first Balloon Fest, yes.
All right, so ask Roger anything you want.
I've been to the Eyes of the Skies as a... as just a person who loves balloons and festivals. I have a question about the balloons. I was going to ask you this the other day when you were in studio, but what is it about the launch has to be in the morning and in right at the beginning of the evening?
Right. Well, I believe, and I'm not a balloon aficionado. But
that's hilarious. You're running this thing and you're not a balloon aficionado.
For 38 years he's been running it.
I can point, you know. But... the reality is that it all depends on the thermal heat on the ground.
Okay.
So it's a little cooler in the morning, and usually in the mornings are a little calmer. And then in the evening, it's the same type of situation. The winds typically die down after 5 or 6. Because that's why during the day you don't see any balloons up. Yeah. It's just too hot.
Well, I was going to also say that this festival, as we came in this morning super early, and you see everyone setting up, and it's such a tremendous achievement to be able to just under... The way that this is put together is amazing. But to see how many people come out to watch the balloon launch, that's a big part of this festival at the crack of dawn.
It is a big part of it. And it's amazing. If you get an overview aerial shot of our crowd, there's probably right now 3,000 or 4,000 people out here. And they come in from all over the place, other states. Because you don't see it much in the Midwest. Let's face it. It's
no, you don't.
A common thing.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of elevation, obviously. Now, of that 4,000, would you say at least 9 of them are here to see us?
There's 9 of us.
Oh, there's got to be more than that.
Ah, good call by you. All right, now talk about the tickets and how people get here and where they park and all that stuff.
So we have 3 outlots. Well, actually, we have 2. We have Bennett Academy High School and Navistar up on Warrenville Road. And then the admission tickets are $10. We open today at 3.
And $10, you can't even see a bad movie for
exactly.
That.
It's a great family deal. And then tomorrow and Sunday we open at noon.
Congratulations. How many volunteers off the top of your head? Do you know the number?
Well, we probably have close to 300 or 400 that put this together, and they work hard to do it, and nobody gets paid. Every cent that we make goes to the local charities.
And it shows the commitment Lyle has to its own town. Roger, thank you. I know you got more work to do, and you don't need to be hanging around with us, but thanks for taking care of us. Well, by the way, and thanks for taking care of my brother with a festival shirt.
You're welcome.
I'm sure he asked twice.
And he got 2.
That's well done by Mickey. Roger Leone, chairman of Lyle's Eyes to the Skies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
We continue here at, what would you call this, Justin, the balloon launch site?
Yeah, this would be Balloon Launch Central. I think that's what they call it. Balloon
Launch Central. We are not far from the porta potties. If people,
yeah, that's a subtitle.
Have you used those
not
yet?
Far from the porta potty.
I know. Marlene Wells' husband jetted me off to the health club for the facilities.
And did they look at you funny when you came in to use their bathroom?
No, there's not even a person in there working out.
Did you get a quick workout in?
I ran from the cart to the bathroom, okay. So that counts.
There's a basketball court right behind us, for the record. If anybody wants to,
oh, let's shoot it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys have any idea how much these balloons cost? Because I know.
No.
Are we guessing?
Yeah.
I would say, from the looks of everything that goes into it, I would say $8,000.
Anyone else?
$778,000.
That's a tad high. Anyone else?
$11,000.
$1.
The balloons you're looking at behind us, including the Remax balloon, are between $50,000 and $100,000
apiece. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that was off.
You can get a smaller sport balloon for around $14,000.
That's what I thought you meant.
That's like buying the Mini Cooper.
Yeah, the Mini Cooper of balloons.
What about the souped-up balloon? Isn't that in the $778,000 realm?
Yeah. Still not there. About $100,000 is your high-end balloon. There are good balloons on the market that vary in price and size. This is my favorite part of this story. You can always pick up a used balloon.
Yeah.
Who's checking that out, right?
Yeah, just with duct tape covering up
first
holes,
time it goes
like
up. Anyway, come on out. It's a beautiful day in Lyle, and if you're making it out today or all weekend or anytime this weekend, you are going to enjoy yourself. All right, we come back, we'll have Sandberg explain what it's like to drive that brand-new Chevy truck that you're going to win soon, the Silverado. She stole it yesterday.
That's right, and we're also going to hear who the most valuable person on the planet is.
Well, we voted. I think we have an answer. Did you vote? Were you allowed to vote?
No.
Okay.
No.
I nominate the woman who gave me the free coffee at the donuts and coffee place.
Yeah, the free coffee and donuts?
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's a finalist.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Okay, time now for the Silverado thief to admit what you did yesterday. So you went to Channel 9 and you stole the truck.
I did.
Because I was kidding all week when I said you could drive it.
I know. So they didn't even check my ID.
We were going to park it right next to the facility here, but the grounds are a little damp.
Yeah. Though I could. This truck is capable of...
It could four-wheel, but it wouldn't be great for the grounds.
Sure.
But we can tell you where it is. You can come out. It's just down the road from us, and you can take a picture of it. All right. What do you love about it?
I love being up high. I love the details inside. It's nicer inside than I thought, even though I knew it was going to be nice. But there's stitching around all the trim pieces and things like that.
Is
that
it
are
the
really
girl
great.
Stuff that you notice?
I like the seat has a lot of adjustments. I can go forward, up, back, tilt. You know, like there's a lot of that. Though,
Justin comes with its own masseuse.
The most awesome thing it has is in between the console, in between the passenger and the driver, there's this little square area that you put your phone on. You don't have to even plug it in, and it just starts charging and connects to the Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Which is pretty incredible.
So
yeah.
While you're driving, you just lay it there and it's charging up.
I still have a 2005 car that I have a tape player.
Okay.
So, this, yes, that does, my phone does not do that.
This has satellite radio. Yeah. And the GPS.
It's a really strong tape player.
The GPS was really easy to use.
So let's talk about the engine. What did you think of the engine?
The engine is amazing. The thing goes fast.
Did you speed?
I did. So on the way here, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I've got some open road.
Yeah.
And so I was going pretty fast. I had a, like, I looked down and I saw that digital number. I thought, ooh, pull this back a little, Mary.
Sure.
I did see two other Silverados on the way here, too. One guy was towing kayaks. I took a picture of him.
Wow. While you were driving the Silverado, one of the things you can do with this, Justin, when you get a car from this century, is there's an options choice for the screen that'll reveal the speed limit in whatever zone you're in.
Oh, wow.
So you always know when you're speeding.
Yeah.
So I could tell the police.
Yeah. Go. No. It's going that.
That can do.
I took it yesterday on some errands. I went to Anthropology in Highland Park. I had to do a return. And then I went to Mariano's, and I sent you that picture, Steve. I'll post it.
That's right. Of you buying paper towels.
Bounty paper towels.
Yes.
They are positioned next to the Silverado. So the Silverado can haul a lot of Bounty paper towels.
And you love the color.
I love the color. Yes. It went to yoga.
Driving on the open road on the highway at 5 o'clock in the morning, that my grandma lived in Long Beach, mm-hmm. and they had a bridge right there, the big bridge that goes right over the...
Over the ocean. Goes right to Europe.
It's right to Europe. That's when they would shoot all the commercials. So they would shut that bridge down, and that's where they were shooting the car commercials where they're the only ones on the road.
Is that right?
Yeah, so that could be... That's a big thing in L.A., so that you could have shot the Silverado commercial
today. I don't think anyone was filming me, but...
You just should have told me.
Yeah.
I brought my iPhone out there. I would have been the car next to you. We would have done the whole thing.
I was just thinking if it was a bridge in L.A., it'd probably be Japan, not Europe.
Yeah, no, it's Europe. Yeah.
Anyway,
was right,
you
though.
Go
you're
to
right.
WGNradio.com/contest to win this beautiful vehicle.
You can get to Europe from there.
Yeah, you probably could. Are we giving stuff away still?
We're giving away a 4-pack of Blackhawks convention passes.
All right, 7th caller. Is that right, or what's the number?
Yeah, no, I had a long math problem that got us to 7, so 7th caller works.
7th caller, 312-981-7200.
And then you've got your most valuable person over there.
All right, the most valuable person on the planet. I'm still not sold on this, but I'm playing along.
I love it.
The most valuable person on the planet. On the planet. Now, you and Pete Zimmerman, you've collaborated on this. Mm-hmm. And you've revealed now the most valuable person on the planet for today, June 29th, 2018, is actually a co-winner. It's brothers James C. and Luther A. Hatch.
Okay.
The Hatch Boys. Town of Lyle was settled in 1832 by the brothers. And I'm assuming since they would be 186, they're not alive anymore. The Hatch Boys, after the close of the Black Hawk War, acquired land near what's now Ogden and began a small farming community. They named that DuPage and East DuPage because of how close it was to the river. And they're the founders. They're the Hatch Boys. The Hatch Boys are the reason we're here today.
Not just Lyle, it sounds like. It sounds like a lot of the western suburbs.
Yeah,
correct?
You got a DuPage County because of those boys as well. In July 2007, Lyle was ranked number 20 in Money Magazine's list of 100 best places to live.
Wow.
17 on the 09 list of the best places for the rich and single. That's right. That's right. If you're rich and single, come on out to Lyle.
What about paycheck to paycheck and single?
That's
the list.
Different list.
Is that on there?
No,
different list.
That's the city. Glenn Earl, a safety for the Houston Texans, is from Lyle. Do you know that?
I did not.
Carms, give us the career statistics of Glenn Earl.
Yeah, right, Steve. It's great statistics, incredibly talented, and there's a future there. Perhaps.
Let me try it out real quick. There's a pass across the middle. Oh, looks like a flag. It's going to be holding on Earl. Automatic first down.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Sounds good. He sounds good.
It's perfect.
Sounds good.
Lester Lewis, a writer, producer, and the supervisory producer for Flight of the Conchords. Great show on HBO.
Show, yeah.
Caroline in the City. Remember Caroline in the City?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
Larry Sanders' show in The Office, two of the great shows of all time. Joy Morton founded the Morton Salt Company. And also the son of Julius Sterling. Joy's a dude? Joy Morton, the son of... That's an odd name for a fella, isn't it?
Isn't it? Morton Arboretum's right around the corner here.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Named after him as well. And, of course, we all know this. Chicago Fire, American soccer team of the finest caliber. Brian Plotkin. Brian Plotkin, midfielder.
Plotkin was awesome.
Plotkin was really good, yeah. Frank Kaminsky, Charlotte Hornets center.
Yeah.
Wisconsin. Is he still playing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Frank, oh, yeah. Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's on the Hornets, right?
Playing for the Hornets. And Bennett Academy graduate. And by the way, Bennett's where you can park. That's one of the places you can park.
Nice tie-in.
For the Lyle Eyes to the Skies. So there you go. That's your most important people on the planet today.
Oh, that's good. Good history lesson.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's come back, get your headlines, and still to come, Pat Boyle's here. Are you familiar with Pat Boyle's work?
Yes. Sharp dresser.
I've heard of Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle's here. We're going to talk a little Blackhawks because Pat knows if they are set up for free agency and what they did in the draft, and he'll explain random Canadians to us coming back.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
Average heat index this weekend of 120, so of course I'm talking hockey. The only guy I know that's more hockey nuts than me is my friend Pat Boyle.
Good morning, Steve.
From NBC Sportsnet Chicago. Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I want to get a first-hand account of the balloons in a second, but first, your Chicago Blackhawks and mine. How'd you feel about the draft?
I felt good. I'll know more in a couple years when we actually see them in the National Hockey League. But last week in Dallas, they added a couple of defensemen in the first round, which I think when you listen to Stan Bowman, he realizes just what a precious commodity defensemen are in this league. And
well, people don't know this. Duncan Keith is 71 years old now, and he can't play 30 minutes a night forever.
Good point. And Seabrook's getting a little long in the tooth as well. Yeah. So... young defenseman was the focus on day one, and then they attacked some forwards with the
second
day.
And these kids look promising?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Young Swedish defenseman.
That was a movie, wasn't it? Young Swedish defenseman?
Yeah, I think you were in it.
The Blackhawks for so many years have prided themselves on their defense and the ability with the players you just mentioned. With the league changing and getting faster, is it there more emphasis on making sure you have defensemen that can keep up with some of these young stars that are coming into the league?
Yeah, Justin, puck-carrying defensemen, those that can ignite the offense... that seems to be the standard right now. And if you look at the past Stanley Cup champions, they all have a Norris Trophy candidate in the group. John Carlson was that guy for the Washington Capitals this past spring. And, you know, certainly with Duncan Keith, we've seen it.
We've been spoiled.
We have.
We've been spoiled because of Seabrook and Keith and Hjalmarsson previously to that. Now, one of the kids we picked up, I understand, is a shot blocker. Or maybe it was just his brothers pounded him with pucks when he was growing up.
That's probably it.
All right, of all the free agents that are out there, the concern is goalie. Who's the hot goalie that they may be looking at?
Carter Hutton's probably the biggest free agent that's available in the goalie market. But the Hawks are being linked to Cam Ward out of Carolina. So,
former Bruin? Can he play for the Bruins?
I think he's been with Carolina most of his
career.
That's
my point. He's always been with Carolina.
That is your point, yeah.
So I think he'll be the guy that we see on Sunday. Free agency begins at 11 a.m. Chicago time on Sunday. And they started this year, this courting period. So for the last week, NHL teams have been allowed to talk to prospective free agents.
Right?
Yes.
So you go into Cam Ward's parents' house and say, this is why your kid ought to come with us?
Exactly. Present the Indian head sweater. And
if it's not a goalie, who is it?
Well, so I think they will add a goalie. I think they're in the market for a winger as well. Is a name that's being mentioned a little bit, but I think they'll also attack defense, and I think they're going to probably do that through the trade market.
Let me ask a question. For years, as the fan, that we were told as fans that the cap situation for the Blackhawks was untenable, meaning we'd win a Stanley Cup and dump a bunch of guys.
Right. Stupid salary cap.
No, but it also has to do with the fact that we've paid our superstars in major contracts. What is the cap situation, and do the Hawks have the flexibility right now to go get another star to improve their team?
They're in the best cap situation they've been in during the Stanley Cup run. You know, one of the byproducts of winning a cup is guys get paid, and they tend to get overpaid at times. So, look, we've got right now
four Hall of Famers, if you include Hossa in that group, a part of this mix. And two of the guys, Kane and Taves, are making $10.5 million a year, among the league's lead in that department. So it's difficult. It's a challenge. Right now, though, they have $9.3 million available in cap space. If they move Hossa's contract, that'll be another $5.3 million. So they've got a lot of flexibility, and Stan made a point to say last week in Dallas that they tend to use that and attack both the free agent market and the trade market.
Mark Carmen, anything on hockey?
I'm just curious if Pat sees any scenario where if things don't turn around this season, could you see Jonathan Taves perhaps being at least discussed as far as making a major move to really reshape the roster and go super young?
Well, I think everything is on the table if they don't make the playoffs this year. I certainly think that the cornerstones are in place right now. We heard Rocky Wirtz a few weeks ago basically, you know, say, everybody, look, we can all do better. Coach better. We can general manage better. We can play better. And I think it's kind of a call to arms to everybody that's a part of the organization to step up their game.
Taser is one of the best guys that has ever been a professional athlete in this town. That doesn't change. But nobody knows better than Jonathan Taves that he's been very average for the last two seasons, especially compared to the game he's always shown us, and he knows he's got to step up.
Right, and some of the thought there is that because he's so responsible on the defensive side that those offensive numbers are lacking, and maybe he needs to concentrate a little bit more offensively. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Brandon Saad was brought back to ignite the captain. That didn't exactly work out last year. Brandon Saad needs to pick up his game as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I Marian Hossa's name, as you just mentioned, that contract. Of course, he didn't play last year with the allergy, and he's out.
He retired.
He's basically done.
But the question I have is that they never really replaced him, and he gets overlooked a lot in because of his age, and obviously now because he's retired. But he overlooked at his impact on this squad.
Totally agree with you. You know, because at the time that he stepped aside, he was 37. You know, now he's 38. People didn't really mention him as a loss. He scored 30 goals in his last year here with the Blackhawks. That's a ton of production, not to mention what he does at the defensive side in preventing goals, penalty kill, works on the power play. So the loss of Marian Hossa, flew under the radar, if that is even possible when you lose a Hall of Famer, but that was the case last year.
What's going to happen with Artemi Panarin? Why not dial that back up if he wants to perhaps make a move out of Columbus?
Get the bread man back? Well, the bread man, the rumor is that in Columbus he would like to get to a bigger market. New York, Los Angeles, yes. So I just don't think that cap-wise it's in the cards for the
Blackhawks. Yeah, he had a good enough season where it would be really expensive to get him back.
Yeah, he's going to be in that $8 to $10 million a year category.
And he's still doing that thing where he pretends he doesn't understand any English when it's convenient for him.
Sure.
Well, it's great to see you. Of course, you'll have every second of Blackhawks hockey.
You got it. And it won't be
starting with the convention.
The convention's right around the corner, so we'll see you at the Hilton for that.
All right. Stick around because people you know as your children are going to tell us what it's like to be in a hot air balloon in just a second.
All right. Sounds good.
Broadcasting live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. We continue with the Steve Cochran Show next on 720 WGN.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She's the one at MSU who can't be seen in green. 'Cause she is Mary, Mary, Mary. Is Mary Sandberg.
The Sandberg Boyle family is all assembled early this morning. And these are some of the best looking kids you could see. Yeah. See how cute these guys are?
This is this is a teen magazine shoot we've got going on.
There's no question about it. let's go back to Pat Boyle for a second. Would you introduce the band?
Well, so my brother's in town with his lovely wife, Angie, Detroit. This is Dr. Boyle.
Dr. Boyle, how are you?
Dr. Boyle.
Doctor of?
He's a pediatrician.
Pediatrician.
Yeah.
Okay, because I got a knee thing. I'd love to have you look at it. And they're in town visiting? So,
yeah, and they're three kids, Nora, Elsie, and Cal.
Nora, Elsie, and Cal. Age ranges? Let's test you. How well do you know your nieces and nephews?
Oh, boy, it's a good one. 8, 10,
Eight, throwing out estimates.
Six. There's a six.
Eight,
in there,
ten,
yeah.
And six.
There you go. Eight, ten, and six.
Eight,
ten,
six. Hopefully ten. Hopefully. And your own kids are here.
Yes, I don't know their ages, but
do you know their names?
Yes, I think it's Catherine and Patrick.
Hi.
So they were the last. This was the last group to go up in a balloon. This
yeah, because what they're doing now is they're hoping the winds will die down just a little bit, so when they open the gates at noon, they'll be able to fire them up again. But these guys went up. So, Kat, how was it?
It was really, really fun. And so cool.
Is that something you wanted to do? Because I talked to so many people who were terrified by that. Is that something you said, oh, I want to do when you were...
Oh, old? My gosh, yes. Mary told me, she was like, you guys are going to go in a hot air balloon on Friday. And I was like, no way. That is the coolest
Wait a minute, hold
thing.
On. So it's a lot like work at home as well? She said you're going to go on a hot air balloon?
Yes.
Ah, I understand. Yes. So that's how it worked. All right, Patrick, give me the story. How was it?
It was the best. When Mary told me we were going to hot air balloon, I was like, hold the phone.
Fantastic. All right, Nora, what did you think?
I thought it was pretty cool, and it was pretty scary at once, but once we figured out that we were going, I was really excited.
Can I ask you a question, Nora? If you just give me your hand for a second.
Yeah, what do you got there?
Are you cheating on your homework? You see what she's got
there's
here?
There's a bunch of numbers.
She's got numbers on the back of her hand. What's that about?
Oh, I had a swim meet yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if we won or not, but I think I did pretty well.
So you're keeping score on your hand?
No, it's just my events and my heat. Oh.
What time to be where?
Yeah.
It's very efficient.
By the way, forget that thing I said about cheating, because that has nothing to do with writing on your hand. And I'm sorry, honey, I forgot your name. What's your name?
Elsie.
Elsie, how old are you?
Eight.
What did you think?
Well, I thought it was really cool because I thought we were just going to see them, but...
Oh, you didn't know you were going to go up?
No, but wow. When we got here, we got to go on.
Was the coolest part is you didn't have to go up with the grown-ups?
Well, yeah.
Because Uncle Pat didn't get to go, right?
No.
No,
what happened? Were you belligerent and lying? What happened?
Yeah.
Usual, yeah. No, I saw some funnel cakes that had my name on it, so I decided to make my way over
the
there.
The kids will be fine.
Yeah. It's a balloon.
Patrick, what was your favorite part about it? What was the favorite part about going up in the balloon?
My favorite part was that I was really sweaty.
That's disgusting.
Because I'm wearing a jacket.
Totally get it, Patrick.
It's like 96 degrees, and there's heat blowing in the hot air balloon.
Oh, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Did you guys get scared when they hit the burner?
No.
That's that loud noise it goes?
No.
Well, Kat, what are you shaking your head about? Like I'm afraid of it. Of course I'm afraid of it. Did you see the look on her face? No. What's wrong with you, Mr. Cochran? And the big man here.
Cal.
There he is.
Cal, how old are you?
Six.
Is this the coolest thing you've done since you were five? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I have fun.
Cal, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a balloon pilot?
No.
What do you want to be?
I want to be a pediatrician like my dad.
All right. How about a round of applause?
Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, enjoy that. It doesn't last forever. Cal, did you have fun up there in the balloon?
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Yeah.
How about you go up with Justin and me and we just go up and just take the balloon out for a ride, see what happens?
Okay.
Talk to him about talking to strangers.
Right.
Very much so. That was a smart response.
Listen, if you come out this weekend, you'll have some lines to stand in, but it'll be worth the wait because they're going to have, I don't know, do we know how many balloons?
I don't know. What we saw right here were 7, 8, 9.
Seven, eight, nine, ten balloons.
Right? Yeah. This is only one staging area, so there's other places.
Did you guys see the skydivers come in?
Yeah, it was so cool.
Right?
They had like flags and like... Yeah. Streamers flying from them. That was really awesome.
And Patrick, I liked when you sang the national anthem when the flag was coming in. That was
you did a really nice job.
Yeah, thank you. You should sing it next time.
Thank you very much. I will. Yes, I will.
Good idea.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That's why he's always on the show, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. He'll get booked again and again. Pat Boyle, when do we see you on NBC Sportsnet Chicago?
You'll see me Sunday all the time, basically, when Hawks News is there. And
Isn't Kaplan hogging a lot of the airtime?
Well, yeah, he demands it.
Yes,
he demands
yes.
it. So
you're the guy with hair, though. That's
it.
Yes, that's
he
right.
doesn't, and I have it.
And you
so.
Do. Thanks for bringing everybody out.
Thanks for having us. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Let me check with Sandberg. How did that go? Was that all right? Thumbs up? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
You. Never shave your beard.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate that very much. And, Patrick, we do have security watching you, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting.
I'm leaving.
We're broadcasting live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. What's coming up at 8 o'clock? Oh, we're at 8 o'clock. What am I talking about? Do we need a break before we go to the top of the hour? Advise me back in the studio, will you? Are we
yes.
going right to?
Yeah.
Quick break, and we're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Dean, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. I just noticed Mark Carman has a vintage Chicago Sting t-shirt on. How old is that shirt?
I'm going to be honest here, Steve. I did buy it off the Amazon. It's not that old. I want you to think it's old, but
Circa when?
Circa 81, the Pato Marhedic, Karl Heinz Granitza era.
You know, when I first moved to Chicago, our neighbor across the street was the Chicago Sting mascot.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah, he was the bee. And he was the bee for years. And at that point, he had left and he had gotten a degree where he could go out and he could run an Osco pharmacy. But yeah, he was the bee.
Did you ever go see the Sting play at Old Chicago Stadium?
No, saw him at Soldier Field.
Yes, I never went outdoor, I only went indoor. Yeah. They were more popular than the Bulls back then. Right. They would draw like 12,000. The Bulls would get six.
I think it's an awesome t-shirt, but I could have swore there was a collared shirt rule on the Cochran show.
You know, there normally is. We're making an exception now because, Dean joins us here, today's show live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival featuring hot air balloon launches, fireworks, and more. It goes through Sunday. Don't miss it. So, Dean, I got to fire the burner.
Did you just have? Do you have chili for dinner last night? What was that noise?
The burner on the show. I have to fire the burner on the show to keep us afloat.
Would Der Sting have played at Wrigley Field? I seem to remember them playing maybe an exhibition game,
special event kind of thing.
Maybe
does that now googling?
Ring
a bell?
Let us look it up. He's going to the computer right now.
I remember the coach, Willie Roy. He was on the show many times.
Look at you.
Through the years.
Look at you dropping soccer trivia. So here's the deal, Dean.
That's why he's in the WGN Walk of Fame.
That's the extent of my sports knowledge, by the way. Those two things are the extent of my sports knowledge.
They played the Tampa Bay Rowdies at Wrigley. You're correct.
Yes, of course they played the Rowdies. All right, Dean, have you ever been out here to the Lyle Balloon Fest?
I have, many times.
Pretty cool.
It is stunning to, I mean, it's a lot of fun. People think of the balloons, and that's obviously a big deal with it. But there's so much fun and music and food and, you know, so much more to do out there. I may go because it's going to be so hot this weekend. If you see a fat guy in a Speedo, that could be me.
Wow. In a hot air balloon.
Enjoy the visual, everybody.
They also might confuse it for Steve Cochran, because last night...
Whoa, no, where'd that come from?
Only...
What a terrible transition.
Sorry. That didn't come out exactly what I meant, but last night at our house, we were watching the video of all of us trying to fold a fitted sheet.
Oh.
And I had gone to TV to get Dean to do it, and so he did it. And when Patrick was watching it, he goes, how come Steve Cochran did it twice? So he thought
Well, we get that a lot. We get Billy Joel.
Right. Yeah. I get Tom Skilling the most.
And you know, Steve did it similar to a performer. You know, he's funny on purpose. And Patrick loves Steve Cochran's humor. And he is knee slapping laughing.
Is that right?
Everything you say, he's like,
that's why I love that kid.
Right off the, in the beginning, you say, why am I doing this? And Patrick, like, lost it right there. So.
Yeah, well, obviously he knows the A material.
That video is at WGNradio.com, along with our Lyle gallery.
We should do a new video, how to fold a hot air balloon as they're being
well, you know, it's funny you say that, right?
Deflated because right here.
The winds came up as they do. The festival itself, I believe, opens at noon, right? Not a... 3 o'clock.
Noon tomorrow.
So aside from taking the balloons up this morning, which was, you know, for TV and for us and for a lot of folks who are out here, the amazing thing is, I don't know if you and I talked about this, but they brought the balloons down, and with the exception of one, they folded them up and they put them away. It's like their moms were watching.
I mean, and there's a routine. I mean, it's like a fitted sheet. It is very similar to the concept. You have to get the right corners and do the whole thing.
I thought it'd be like a baseball tarp where you just wait it, leave it out there.
Put some bricks on the ends.
Dean, I'm telling you, they folded the entire hot air balloon.
Wouldn't it be great? Maybe it's too late for this year, but next year, wouldn't it be great to have a likeness of Steve's head on one of the balloons?
Oh, can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And then underneath put actual size.
Right, right. We could do like a scale thing where I'm standing next to the balloon. Right.
The promotional flyer that they put together for this actually had your head on a balloon.
Nice.
So you're right. The rendering is already exists.
That's nice. Not even nice.
First duplicate.
First you with the transition, now this.
We always have a Thanksgiving parade. We can push
that's
for
true.
That.
I could be a giant head in the Thanksgiving parade.
Weren't you going to sell space on your head?
You know, it's funny. We talked about that this week with our promotions and marketing department, and they were politely laughing. And I've said this for years.
Head tattoos?
You take the digital scroll where you could talk about whatever's going on at WGN or the news of the day, and you run it right across my forehead on a billboard.
School closings.
Right? How about school closings? That's brilliant. That is brilliant. School closings in the winter is a salute to Wally.
If you could picture sitting in that meeting with all the marketing people and listening to Steve describe as he's pointing to his forehead about how the banner would go across his forehead.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the woman I was explaining it to quit right after that meeting.
I don't know if you remember the campaign from several years ago where they were going to use my head and Steve's head and put it on a billboard, but there was too much confusion. People thought it was someone's buttocks.
Right. Right cheek, left cheek. GN's lost its mind.
Censored.
I'd call that good confusion, but go ahead.
All right, so we're live in Lyle. We got movies to talk about. What else is on your list?
The Cher musical had its official opening last night, and I've got a few things to say about that.
What else?
That's pretty much it.
Again, that's the Cher thing and the movie
Cher
thing.
And new movie. It's all about openings today, right. Steve.
Check out somewhere
to stay nice and cool in this hot weather.
Check out the photo gallery. Check out Dean folding the fitted sheet and all of us attempting to do the same. WGNradio.com at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook.
There's no other radio show in America promoting watch the personalities fold the fitted sheet.
It's all hot. That's hot. It's internet hot.
Yeah, it's very hot.
Take that. Take that, all you competitors.
It's not quite viral, but there are symptoms.
We'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Listen after White Sox baseball or nightly 7 to 11 to Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis. Listen every morning to Justin Kaufman and Pete Zimmerman joining this show. You can't hear Pete that often because he often refuses to do the show.
He's hiding in the closet like he does.
But he's running around doing everything.
No, but I will say, he's tremendous. If you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pete is doing a bang-up job
of
telling the story of this show on all social media platforms. It's really impressive.
You should see what I'm paying him.
That.
It's unbelievable.
Paying anything. He's volunteer.
Hey, Dean, what is the story on the Cher musical?
Well, the official press opening was last night. I don't know if any of you guys went to it. There were a whole bunch of WGN radio people that were there, but I didn't see anybody from the morning show.
You know what? Aside from you as a professional, let's out the celebrity community that goes to everything free. Who are the people you always see at these things?
Steve, the show's over at 10 o'clock. There really is not enough time.
I did see our boss, Stephanie, was there.
She doesn't miss a free ticket. That's right.
She looked fabulous.
Stephanie there. Who else did I? The WGN radio-y people. The list goes on and on.
Well, what's funny is the people that are no longer in the business that are still exploiting the free ticket for years.
That is more egregious to me than, the radio people who, you know, are producing shows. And you can kind of see why they would be at an event like that. But, you know, there are people that have not worked in Chicago in decades that are still on the free tickets.
There's a rumor Larry Lujak was there last night, and it's odd because Larry's been dead for 10 years.
Passed away a while ago. That's very true. This show's been open for a couple of weeks now. You know, it's in a pre-Broadway run now. It's going to be opening in New York in November. So they're, you know, these are the tryouts right now. And literally, as cast members have told me, they are literally making changes every day on this. And it's a good thing because this show really, really needs a lot of tweaking before it goes to New York. It's about Cher's life and career. It's about Cher from childhood through the early days of Sonny and Cher, through the husbands, the boyfriends, the TV show, the movies.
The wigs.
Well, you know, the costumes actually is the showstopper. There's one scene that focuses on the legendary fashion designer Bob Mackie, who was actually, and the real Bob Mackie was in the audience last night.
Wow!
But the scene about the costumes is the best part of the show. It's showstopping. People went nuts during the scene, and you know what? A show that's about Cher shouldn't be stopped by a scene
yeah.
about costumes.
It's true.
The rest of the show needed to be as good as that one scene.
Dean, was there any scene that was like, you think I could be a singer, Mom?
Well, yes.
When she met Sonny?
Yeah, and, well, with her mom.
Right.
You know, I want to be a star. There's that sort of thing.
You think
know,
I could be a star, Ma, and get off the farm?
I don't know if we can do it. And Sonny is like, us together, babe. You know, guess what song comes after that,
right.
babe?
Wow.
Is that the thing? It's too cliched by the books?
It's a little bit cliched. I wouldn't say overly cliched. But there are so many things happening that the show just seems so scattered. And, you know, she has this magnificent collection of songs. And for the most part, the songs are abbreviated versions of the song. I get you can't do every song in its entirety. But there should have been, like Mamma Mia taught us, the stage show, like Jersey Boys and other really successful shows like that. You can do a lot of the songs in
sure.
full and give the people what they came for. They wanted to hear full
50
Cher
years
songs
of hits, man.
Blown up to pieces and perform magnificently the way Cher does. And what they did was they took many of these songs and did kind of somber acoustic versions of them
in order
to further the story. So the show was a little bit on the somber side,
That's odd.
I don't,
guys, do you believe in love?
Because none of us do anymore.
And they're like, I just want to believe in love.
You know what? If I could turn back time to the beginning of this segment.
Oh, man.
So it's, you know, it's very nostalgic.
Wait, I got one more. You know, I'm adopted. You know where I met Cher? We were both born in the wagon of a traveling show. Our mamas used to dance for the money they'd throw. Grandpa, he did whatever he could. Preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. You know the drill.
And the beat
so
goes
somber.
On.
The beat goes on. The entire up. Medley.
You know, they recreate the Sonny and Cher TV show and the Cher TV show. They hit on milestones in her life. It's very nostalgic. The performances are really good. But, man, these producers and these writers need to trim this thing down before it ever hits New York.
Mm. You know, well, they'll get it right. They'll get it right.
I hope so. Cher herself snuck into town this past weekend. And I love this, so candidly said that the show needs work,
yep.
which must have mortified the producers and the promoters of this. But she's 100% correct. The show needs work. So, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's not perfect. It's here till July 15th before it goes to the Big Apple.
Movie we got to see this weekend?
Uncle Drew is funny. I went in completely skeptical. It's where these NBA all-stars all dress up in senior citizen makeup and, you know, latex masks and wigs and all that.
A basketball movie.
Going to bring the old team back together again and teach these young bloods about basketball and about life and about the wisdom of seniors.
Sounds incredibly dumb, but
and
it works.
It's simple and pleasant.
Oh, good.
But this movie.
So am I.
This movie has so much heart. That really surprised me.
That's great.
Very, very sweet movie. Thanks to the athletes. Not so much the actors. The athletes did an amazing job. Dean's List B+ on that one. And there is the gritty sequel to Sicario that comes out today. Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Mm-hmm. That brings back Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro together. Not only working to fight the Mexican drug cartels, but they weave into this story undocumented people coming over the border and terrorism. It could be ripped from the
and
front.
Donald
page.
Trump stealing children, that whole thing.
Well, you will be thinking about Donald Trump quite a bit while you watch this
wow.
movie. But it is beautifully shot, well made, amazingly performed, super serious, super violent. Dean's List B plus on that one also.
What is the before we run out of time here, which we did 2 minutes ago? What is this I keep seeing on the internet, and I mean all of them, about Benicio del Toro shoots his gun funny? You know anything about this?
I have not heard that.
Is there some sort of weird motion when he's firing his gun at people in
not
this movie?
Not in the movie, no.
It was bizarre.
No, but he does plenty of shooting people too.
I was gonna say, how about in real life?
Maybe that's it. Maybe he's shooting neighbors.
Yeah, he's shooting.
You're on the radio Sunday?
I am with there are three women in the Cher show, three actresses who play Cher at different stages of her life. They will be joining me Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock.
I have an opening question for you. What the hell's wrong with this show? What are you going to do to fix it?
Fortunately, I recorded the interview before I saw the show. So,
oh, that'll be fine.
So that worked out for them.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
See you guys.
Today's show, From Lyle's Eyes to the Skies, again featuring... Oh, got to hit the burner. Otherwise, we don't stay afloat. Featuring hot air balloon launches, fireworks, and more through Sunday. Come on out to Lyle and Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. Back with the headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. On 720 WGN.
We are live at Lyle's Eyes to the Skies, broadcasting here from the festival where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. They are rightfully proud of that, and they should be.
Is this the Lyle Park District? This is the community park?
This
is beautiful. I mean, the
you mean is this Park District territory?
Yeah, of course. But there's a great baseball diamond right here, and I'm bummed we didn't bring the clincher. You know, we could have had a little 16-inch outing.
Okay, how about we bring
the ball?
How about we bring
ball.
Gloves
no.
and actually
no,
play
no.
baseball?
No, there's no gloves.
No
gloves.
16-inch softball. That's what we're doing. That's what this Cochran show is going
to
enter.
I remember when I came to
16-inch leagues.
When I came to town in 1994, you might remember the 90s.
Yeah, I remember 90s.
So that's almost 25 years ago. And I immediately got into a 16-inch league, and I think I played 4 games and went, this is dumb.
And you had the best time of your life.
No. I went and played regular softball.
No.
Oh, the way God intended it.
That's a blasphemy. Regular softball is a 16-inch clincher, big bat that's too big for you.
I don't even understand it. Why? Explain that to me. Why? You know, gloves were invented for a reason a long time ago.
It's a different game. The game changes. A ground ball to a shortstop is not an automatic out.
Why don't you just play with a watermelon?
If the watermelon wouldn't bust when you hit it with a 34-inch wooden bat.
It's not baseball, Mark Carman. It's not baseball.
No. Well, Carm's a 16-inch guy.
Mitts are key. I value my fingers.
I know.
You want to, you know, that's a big component of life, you know, eating and other things. Look, I mean, I played 16-inch softball once for WG, and this finger will never be the same.
No, I busted up my hands too in 4 games, but it wasn't even about that. It's like, what is this?
Obviously, you're not coached right.
Spinning melon coming at me. Come on.
I want to just point this out. I've pointed this out before on WGN, but I'm a 2-time 16-inch champion.
Oof.
We won the whole media league twice,
our entire audience is thrilled.
I'm just saying that I think that the audience out there understands the value and the art of 16-inch softball.
With that, I think we should go to the Balloon Meister.
Oh, are we done talking about this?
We're about to get an argument over softball.
I'm just 45. Curious, when you get there to Starbucks and you're a 2-time champion, does coffee still cost the same?
It costs the same, but it tastes so much better.
Thank you,
I wanted to clear that before we went on to something else.
It tastes so much better.
Scott McClinton's here. Scott, what is a Balloon Meister?
Well, I direct all the operations for the balloons here for the festival for the entire weekend. So I kind of what they call orchestrate the show.
Choreographer.
So that makes me, I'm the Steve Cochran Show Meister.
You are.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, there you go.
You are.
Hold on, let me hit the burner one more time. I just did, didn't I? How'd you get in the balloon business?
I started when I was a kid. Which is the way most pilots get into this, is they become fascinated as a child. And,
sure.
And I was just lucky enough to go to college and realize I was smart enough not to want to work all my life.
Right.
So straight out of college, I ended up...
No talk shows open at that point?
There weren't. Okay. But I was close. And then second came ballooning.
Right.
And I've been very blessed. I've spent 31 years traveling the world doing this. And I get up every morning and kind of pinch myself and...
Because you love your work.
Go to work. And today I actually had to balloon Meister. I had to orchestrate it, which is hilarious. I called air traffic control because the winds were going right along the corridor
for Midway
to your big old airport over there.
Oh, no, O'Hare.
Yeah.
and well, that could be problematic.
Well, and it turns out those guys are really serious about what they do.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah. You're commercial airliners. Good. They like to have a free run.
The guy explained to me the entire history of a five-minute delay at Chicago O'Hare turning into 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon.
As his voice was elevating?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Any idea how many times you've been up in a hot air balloon?
You know, I spent the last year putting this together because we're doing some biography work, and I'm somewhere in the area of about 6,000 flights.
How about that? I have done it all of twice, and I do it 1,000 times more. It was so much fun.
Yeah, we're doing some stuff. I'm out of Louisville, Kentucky, and we've got a group of guys down there that is embraced. And last year, when we were here, I introduced you to a pilot that had flown 753 miles. Well, we kind of put our heads together this past winter and said, you know, we need to do something else that's pretty cool. We designed a burner and a basket system, and 2 weeks ago that pilot you met flew to 31,900 feet.
Oh, no kidding.
In a regular hot air balloon with an oxygen mask.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. We did two flights to 18,000, and that was kind of our warm-up in how to work with air traffic control. And again, they are pretty serious about what they do. But 2 weeks ago, he took it to the limit. So
isn't that, I could be wrong about this because I'm wrong about many things, but I believe the longest free fall was done out of a hot air balloon.
Correct, from 56,000 feet.
56,000 feet.
We think that our setup will take us to 50,000 feet.
How's the pilot feel about the fact that think is in that sentence?
Well, when we did the 18,000 foot, we all were very confident. And so you've got your burner roar noise that you use there, and it's a pretty ominous noise. And we were at 18,000 feet. And we were high-fiving each other in the basket because the setup worked perfectly. And I reached up for the burner, and there was no roar noise.
Oh.
The flame had gone out. And I can tell you, there was no noise for about 30 seconds until we relit it. So when he did the 32,000-foot flight, we had actually augmented it just in case that happened. It's kind of neat that you could do that and then land and that afternoon go fly that balloon with all you guys on board.
No kidding.
There's nothing special about it. So it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Yeah, it's pretty special. All right, here's what I want to do. We'll take the break. We'll come back. And we want to ask you every question we've ever had about ballooning.
I have a couple. Yeah.
From the stupid to the not-so-stupid questions when we come back. Steve Stone normally joins us on Friday mornings, sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. And Steve eats at all of them, and so do we.
I think he'd say go to Joe's this weekend for those crab claws because it's so hot out.
That's exactly right, and go to Joe's anytime. But the reason he's not on is they had a four-hour delay in the flight to Texas this morning, so he's flying right now.
That's a little bit of a challenge for the White Sox. Long game yesterday, travel today. They'll be fine. Dylan Covey starts tonight. They got things. No problem.
Yeah, well, as long as it doesn't hurt our run of the World Series.
Right, right. I mean, listen, when you do the math, Steve, it doesn't look great.
Uh-huh.
But
are we mathematically eliminated?
Not yet. That's
all right,
the whole
then.
Point.
That's my point.
That's exactly right. Right.
At 8:51, we'll come back in just a second and ask everything we ever wanted to know about ballooning, including you guys, if you want to text at 312-981-7200 after this.
Back to the Ice to the Skies Festival in Lyle.
Steve Cochran Show continues. Texter 773, Steve, you poor, unfortunate, misguided individual. The game is called softball for a reason.
See?
If you're using a mitt, it's just baseball on steroids or Miracle-Gro. The 16-inch game requires a higher level of athleticism.
Oh, please.
That does a game played with a mitt.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, okay.
The art and strategy and athleticism is huge.
Yeah, of course it does.
2-time champ.
And Benicio del Toro makes the text line as well. Benicio del Toro does, in fact, fire his gun funny. Yes, he holds it. This is a texter again. Yes, he holds it in one hand and uses his index finger to rapid fire the trigger. With the other, he fires the trigger with the index finger. It's in the movie trailer.
Oh, okay, there we go.
But, you know, that could have been a choice as an actor, just right? It's part of his goofiness.
Yeah, sorry, his artistic choice.
All right, joining us now, an actual balloon meister. And Scott McClintock is here. All right, Scott, everything we always wanted to know about a balloon. Let's start with the basics. Wind is the enemy, yes?
Wind is, and it's followed by a close second with a little bit of rain. But the wind is is primarily our concern, because think about if you fell off your bike doing 10 miles an hour or doing 20. That's what you're doing. You're jumping off of a moving car. So we have to, we don't have any landing gear. We have no wheels. So it's really down to finesse as you're coming in. So you want the wind to be as low as possible.
10 miles an hour or less, is that right?
When you're landing. We can take off in probably 15 to 18, but when you're landing, you want it to be 10 or less.
What are we doing now? I mean, the festival's not open now, but I mean, this gets some pretty stiff flags. Is this 15 plus?
Yeah, it's probably pushing the 20.
Yeah, so it's a little breezy.
Now, out west, where you have wide open, we fly in New Mexico and in Arizona. We pushed that to 15 and 16 because you got nothing to do but drub yourself into the dirt.
It's the fastest you've ever flown.
I landed doing 37 in New Mexico. We got
and caught. You bounced all the way to Louisiana.
Well, I had these two guys in from a local phone company, and they were trying to do a live tweet broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had a very expensive phone with an initial. I kept telling them, put it away. And they were holding up, and they were doing the live thing. And he didn't. Turns out those phones really are that expensive. And you don't need an app to find it, because it's pretty easy to find at that point. You can pick up the pieces as
right,
you go.
Right, right.
But they both dropped them, and I kept. But it was fast. I mean, I'll tell you, it was. I was a little bit.
Caught your own breath after all these years.
I was a little taken aback. When I got done, I was kind of proud of myself. Dirty. I mean, I looked like
but
pig
a good
pen.
Time.
Oh, that was great.
Let's go around the horn and keep asking. Sandberg.
So, in a situation like that, when you find out we got to get down, how quickly can you get down from midair?
I can get to the surface from 1,500 feet. I can get there in about 3-4 minutes. So then I get down on the trees and I get down. I want to stay high enough I can see what's out in front of me, but low enough if something sneaks under me like a tree line that I can duck it into. And you know, we get a lot of people when we land in neighborhoods. That's prime for us. If it's slow enough for me to land in a neighborhood, that's good weather. I put it on a street, I automatically get 50, 60 people to come out and help me put it away. Hey, so you know, everything's uphill, but you know what happens is people one block over see the balloon going down in between the houses, and they go, and right before they landed, there was fire. Right. Well, yeah, it's kind of how it works. Kind of like the brakes, and I mean, it's we are 100% weather and wind dependent.
And I just read this great book, Kirsten's book about NASA, and how they do rocket launches and the launches to the moon, and much of almost 90% of what they do is done on the ground before they launch.
Correct.
When you're talking about hot air balloons, is it similar in the strategy of what you need to prepare for on the ground, or how much improvisation has to happen professionally when you're up in the air?
It's all prep. It's all on the ground prep, because we don't want to set ourselves up for failure. So here, like this morning, we were going to run that thin line right up the side of O'Hare. You know, sometimes when you're facing something like that, you don't want to step off that cliff.
Not
so
a good
it's
thing.
It's all prep work. And a lot of places that we fly, especially in Phoenix, we can be in one part of town where we normally fly, and it looks like it's going to be windy, and we'll turn the corner and go 15, 18 miles to the east or the west, and it'll be dead calm. So it's prep.
Mark?
What do you do when you're up there? I mean, do you bring snacks?
What do you mean? They play 16-inch softball.
It's like you're 20,000 feet up. Like, what do you do? What's the mode of entertainment?
Well, it's a different. First, it's a different perspective, and nobody has. The average person has never seen that area from the air, so you spend a lot of time answering questions because people point and they go, "What is that?" And you're like, "It's a tree." And a dog and a cow next to it. You know, they just don't understand that perspective. But the people that do regular flights,
has a question.
The regular flights where they take passengers all the time, they do a litany of things. They drop popcorn. They, if there's water in the area, they'll do water landings, and they'll shoot the Top Gun theme over there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for somebody that's only been up a couple of times, you would never ask what you're going to do because it's so incredibly beautiful. It's sensory overload. And on top of that, you hear everything that's said on the ground.
Yeah.
Sound really? Shoots straight up.
And everything you say in the balloon looking down goes straight down. And people don't understand that because when we yell across the yard, the grass absorbs the sound. But when you look straight up, it's a clear path. Nothing cool. absorbs it. And so, you know, a lot of times you got to caution your passengers because you'll be flying over. And we see a lot of really unusual things that people
look at a naked lady in the backyard.
Exactly. And you know, they look over the side and they go, wow. And then they blurt something about that. And those people, is they hear it clear as day.
Right, exactly. What are the balloons that we see out here? What are they made of? What's the material?
Basically, it's a ripstop nylon. It's a square weave. So when you buy a jacket in the store that's made of nylon, that's a stranded weave. It has striations in it, but this is all square. And what that does, it just makes the fabric very, very strong.
Do you have parachutes in the baskets?
No,
we're never high enough.
We're never
jump,
high enough to jump. Plus, the balloon design is actually a parachute. We can, on a free fall from 1,500 feet, you're only going to be doing about 800 or 900 feet if you don't do anything to arrest it. It's a pretty mild. It sounds a lot, but it's not a bad drop rate. I mean, there's been bad parachutes drop faster than that.
Yeah, survivable, but you don't want to do it.
Correct.
Yeah. Steve?
When you're up there floating around and you see the beautiful scenery and you're watching everything go by, have you ever seen a UFO?
I've seen some things we've called UFOs, only because they're hard to identify. Mm. And sometimes you don't want to describe them. Sometimes you just want to log that one in your memory and not ever use it again.
What's the strangest thing you've seen?
A lot of pool activity.
People having sex in their pools.
A lot of pool activity.
Very specific there.
Well, I didn't figure it was people playing 16-inch softball in the pool.
Being generic for the listeners, and you go right in.
Couple years ago, I was flying in rural Kentucky, and I'm from Kentucky, so I kind of defend the territory, but I'm talking about rural where banjos play regularly. And I flew across this small mountain and came down in a valley, and it turns out it was about 90% planted with pot. So I came across about a 200-acre field, and what they do down there is they plant all marijuana, and then the first six rows is corn to the road. So I take it all the way across this marijuana, and I drop it on the road, and this guy comes up, and he's walking on gravel and barefoot, and that's your first clue.
Right.
And he said, "Hey,
y'all."
He said, "You know, did you come across my farm?" I said, "Yeah, we came across the mountain, landed." I said, "You know, we came." He goes, How'd my corn look? It looked tall. You know, it's right. Well past knee high by the 4th of July.
Right.
That's all he cared about. He was like, you know, I just want to make sure my corn was looking
good. He probably
good.
Also cared about the fact that he didn't take an ID out that said DEA on it.
My passengers are in the basket because we had plucked some plants. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't know when we get to the road. I don't know who's going to be there. As we were approaching and the guy was walking up barefoot, I go, I'd put those somewhere. He won't see them.
All right, right.
So they're over there stuffed in their shirts, put in their pants. And I'm like, that's going to work out well later.
Well, you got a job that's nothing but fun, it sounds like. And if there's one thing you want to say to people before you go here that are coming out and it's going to go up, even tethered, their first time, what do you tell them?
Be patient. There's going to be a ton of people here today, especially in the tether ride area. We'll get to everybody we can get to. And just enjoy it. We intend to open the gates up so people can come onto the field for the glow. These folks have traveled from all over the country to be here this weekend, and they can't wait to share their stories, just like my story.
Yeah,
they can't
passion.
Wait to share it. So be patient and come on out and have a good time.
And I would just add, because, you know, I'm a grandfather now, treat the balloon like you owned it. I think they're $100,000 at the high end, aren't they? Something like that?
Yeah, we have two of them that peak out over $100,000 this weekend.
Yeah, so because of that, get in the basket, respect the fact that you're a guest, and be careful with your own phone, because we're not going to stop to pick it up.
Exactly.
That's right. Scott, great to see you, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. I called you McClintock. It's Scott McClinton, if Mrs. McClintock is listening. Back with your news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Eyes to the Skies Festival in Lyle, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all cover.
Broadcasting live from Lyle's Eyes to the Skies Festival, where 100% of the proceeds go to local charities. Okay. Heating up out here. Going to be hot today and tomorrow. A little bit cooler on Sunday. Carms, what are you doing this weekend?
Big tennis match tomorrow, Steve. I thank you for bringing it up. I know that you've been thinking about me in the 9 o'clock match versus Highland Park, where I'll be playing number one singles, and it's all on the line tomorrow, Steve.
This is not team tennis. This is singles.
Well, we are a part of a group, but you do have to play your match by yourself. Yes.
All right. Now, I've never understood the rankings in tennis. It's a 1 to 5 scale.
Well, at the recreational over 40 bad tennis player level that I'm at, we have 3 singles courts, 1, 2, and 3, and there's 2 doubles courts.
No, I think he's meaning. Like, do you play? Are you level 1?
He's talking. Thank you, Mary.
That's what I'm here for.
Right. So, yeah, that's. Depending on
like
how,
for instance, golf. Like I am what I would call a weak 7, a 7 handicap. Shoots a 78 or a 79 about once every 5 rounds, and is normally in the low 80s. What's a tennis equivalent?
So a tennis equivalent to that would probably be a 4-5. Somebody who is consistent and hits with some level of power, but is not, can't completely control hitting with power all the time, and covers the court well, and can serve, and can do a lot of good things, but is not on the elite level.
But you're as nuts about it as I am about golf, I guess, right?
Yes. I
play all the time?
I was out there yesterday. I'm a 2-day-a-weeker, hopefully, at least.
And Bill Leff is also tennis nuts?
Bill Leff is tennis nuts. Bill Leff is an amazingly competitive, wanting-to-win player when you go out on the court with Bill Leff. He
spins everything, I'm told?
Spins a lot, but he... You know, he's good at tennis, but his true talent, Steve, is ping pong. He is an Olympic level ping pong player. He wears the Bill Leff hat when he's out there, sweats profusely.
So you're not kidding?
No, I'm not. It's unbelievable. Bill Leff is like taking on Olympic ping pong players and has gotten, I don't think he's beaten them, but he's gotten like a bunch of points, which is incredible, right?
Yeah, of course it is.
Leff is a stud ping pong player, and he's a very good tennis player too.
He's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he's Gump for ping pong. But Leff is Gump.
Yeah, but Gump doesn't collect as many toys.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Gump,
Pete, what are you doing this weekend? Anything special, Pete?
Oh, you have no microphone.
That's all right. You can tell me. Going to a Cubs game. All right.
He's a season ticket holder.
Can he pitch? Sounds like we need pitching.
We could use some pitching, there's no doubt. So maybe, Mike Montgomery's starting today, but perhaps later in the weekend,
And Sandberg, you're just going to stay in Lyle?
Yes.
Because your family's here?
My family is here, so I'm going to stay away. All I could think of when they showed up, because they had to be here at 6:30, is probably none of them made the beds at my house when they left.
Oh, the torture.
I'm excited to have them here, though. This is not the group that wrote on my couch 2 years ago.
Oh, this is the favorite part of the family.
This is the different set. However, that little girl that wrote on my couch, she's now 5, and she's turned the corner and is amazing.
Is she still serving some sort of, retribution? Sort of, what's the word I'm looking for when you have to pay back your debts?
I think retribution works.
Yeah, whatever.
A sentence? She was, up until last year for her birthday, I gave her this light for her room, and she said, "Oh, Aunt Mary, I just love my light." And then I wasn't mad anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
How old were you, Mary, when you started making your bed within like 1 minute of leaving it?
My mom didn't. Yeah, we weren't allowed to close our bedroom doors, so our beds had to be made. And we had our comforters were like a fitted sheet. They were these cute little gingham things. So you had to have the sheets perfect. So when you put the fitted comforter over it, it laid perfectly. So Debbie is pretty strict about that. So I have I got that quality from her.
Well, Pete,
and I've passed it down.
Pete, you're a married guy, and I don't know about you, but in my house, and Maureen's very understanding about this. I suck. So making the bed and even putting the decorative pillows in the particular order that they're supposed to be in, I don't even try that much. I really don't try. I just kind of pull things back, and then she comes in and corrects. Pull back, correct. That's the 2-step move. Pull back, and then she comes in and corrects. Same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and your wife's name is?
Molly.
Molly, and we're big Molly fans, I'm told.
Oh, we love Molly.
Looking forward to meeting Molly.
She's an amazing artist. She has she does cards. She designs her own cards. La Familia Green is the website. I get all my thank you notes from her.
Well, very nice.
Great stair climber.
Yeah, she is. Which she participates in all our stuff. Yeah.
This brings us all the way back to personal questions about Carm's life. How are things going?
Things are going well, Steve.
Same relationship?
Same relationship. We're planning a trip for July. Actually, we have a little bit of a snafu with that. That's my fault.
The relationship?
Not the relationship, no, but the trip planning has gone a little. We had one destination in mind. Shockingly, we were going to be going to tennis camp, but I called up the tennis camp, Steve, and there's not enough players that are going to be there. So she was very excited to go there, but I had to call an audible, and that hasn't gone particularly well. But I'm working on smoothing things over.
So instead you go to Omaha?
We're thinking about the little drive up to the UP.
Oh, that'll be pretty.
Right?
Does she like being in a car with you, though?
She's not wild. Well, she was very excited we were going to go out to Virginia, so that was kind of a big exciting thing.
You know Virginia's slogan, Virginia's for
You know
lovers.
What? Joe from back at the station, Joe Romano, just suggested you guys go with John Williams and Brenda to Dubuque, Iowa on a riverboat cruise.
That'd be great.
Perfect idea. Not going to happen, but a great
it
idea.
It includes some drinks and food, I know.
Yeah. Helpful texture from the 224. Steve, the word you're looking for is restitution. The five-year-old needed to perform a task that would be equivalent to the restitution owed for the couch.
That's correct, yes.
Redistribution.
My Walter E. Smith couch, though, the white couch that she wrote on, it came clean because a listener gave me great tips. And it looks
great.
What,
get a new couch?
No. We used some kind of goo something or other.
Goo gone?
It wasn't quite goo gone, but it was something like that. It worked. It was perfect.
Big race weekend in Joliet. Scott Paddock will join us next to talk about it as the Steve Cochran Show continues for Lyle on 720 WGN.
If you ain't first, you're last. You know what I'm talking about? That phrase is trademark, not to use the tradition of Ricky Bobby.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. She's real
fine, my boy. I don't think you'd mind if I say Scott Paddock, president of Chicagoland Speedway, is a friend of the show. Scott, is that okay with you?
That's very flattering. Thank you, Steve.
Nice to talk to you. It's a big weekend. I will be out there on Sunday sweating with the locals as we watch the 400. But set up the whole weekend. What's been happening?
Well, we kicked it off last night with the ARCA Series Under the Lights. Had a great race, a great way to watch the future stars of the sport. These are the young men and women. We actually have three women competing in that race last night. And, you know, if they earn their stripes and have success there, then they advance to the next level, which is the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And that's Under the Lights tonight at the Speedway. So temperatures should be great by race time tonight. And then the NASCAR Xfinity Series tomorrow. And then the big one, names like Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, the Busch brothers, Martin Truex Jr., they're all going to be battling it out at Sunday's Overton's 400. We've got Randy Houser doing a pre-race concert that morning to kick things off. And there's a lot on the line, Steve, because if you win on Sunday, you automatically punch your ticket for the playoffs come September. Win and you're in, as they say.
So this is a major.
It's a major, no doubt about it. Absolutely. So we're going to be hitting speeds up 205 miles an hour on the straightaways.
All right. So in all seriousness now, with the temperatures we're going to have over the weekend, what do you guys have to do, if you can explain it in layman's term, to keep the track cool enough to save it for the weekend?
Well, you know, the track will be hot, but that makes for some really good racing because what happens is the drivers are going to lose grip, and it'll be slippery on that racetrack, and so it's a little bit harder for the drivers, and they may not be able to go wide open all the way around, so it'll tend to keep them more bunched up in a pack. So typically, warmer track conditions tend to create better, more exciting racing.
And the heat inside the car will get to what?
You know, those drivers, they'll probably hit about 140 degrees inside the race car. So if anyone doubts whether or not these NASCAR drivers are athletes, make no doubt about it. So and hydration's the key for them. They need to keep the fluids in them. And because at those speeds, you need to be mentally alert and your cognitive skills need to be sharp because one small move could lead to a 20-car wreck.
Well, with this race being so important for a driver and a possibility to punch their ticket into the playoffs, the question, are there some drivers that look forward to this race? Are there some drivers that are better on this course? Talk about the front runners or the people you think have a good shot this weekend.
What are you betting on the race? Let's go the faves. Justin wants the faves, man.
Well, Martin Truex Jr. is a two-time defending champion here at Chicagoland Speedway. And he's you know, there's different tracks. There's short tracks. There's the super speedways like Daytona. Then there's an intermediate track like Chicagoland Speedway, a mile and a half. We're a little unique in that we're not a true oval. We've got a D shape. in the back of the racetrack, so that tends to create a little bit of a different dynamic. And after 18 years, the track is it's got a very worn racing surface, a lot of characters, different bumps throughout the racetrack. So, you know, the veterans probably have an advantage because they know this racetrack, but these young guns really are racing with no fear. I mean, they're bold, they're brash, and what I'd love to see, my prediction is Chase Elliott is going to get his first ever NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series win this Sunday. Bill Elliott's son.
Stepping up.
He would, and I tell you what, he's voted the most popular driver the last couple of years, much like his father, Bill Elliott Sr. was. And so it would get NASCAR Nation pretty fired up with see Chase Elliott get his first win on Sunday.
So, Scott, is there any events that include golf carts? Because Steve just drove me to the restroom, which is about 200 feet from here.
And well, let's be honest. Steve also drove Steve to the restroom.
He drove Steve, too. He was going full throttle, and he hit a speed bump, and I almost fell right off the back. He didn't give me any warning. So do you have an event that could accommodate that type of driver?
Well, we're going to take really good care of Steve when he's out here. And the good news is the temperatures look like they're going to be lowering a little bit on Sunday.
I don't think Scott's going to let me drive. It doesn't sound like he's going to let me drive.
No.
We're going to let you sign a waiver, and then we'll let you drive, Steve. And by the way, Charles Peanut Tillman, all-pro former Chicago Bear, is going to be our honorary pace car driver. So he's going to be driving the pace car. So maybe we'll let you ride shotgun with him, Steve.
Yeah, because I'd be the guy going, woo-hoo! You know, for a second, if you would, talk about driving the pace car. That's some pressure.
You know, it really is. And Peanut's going to have to go through training Sunday morning. So he will get out here, meet with NASCAR officials. They will talk him through the rules of the road, get him familiar with the race car. And you're right. I mean, he's on national TV. Sunday's event is televised in over 175 countries. So Peanut, certainly, he's going to want to have his game face on and be ready to go.
Mark Carman, is Peanut in he's FBI Academy, isn't he?
That's the move for Peanut.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the more interesting dudes. Peanut's literally willing to do anything. So, are you going to try to help him out, Scott, or are you going to make it a little tougher on him and see how he does?
Well, he's cool under pressure. We all know that, right?
Yeah. Without a doubt. Tickets and information where?
ChicagolandSpeedway.com or 888-629-RACE, or just come on out on Sunday. Get here early. Enjoy that Randy Houser concert. And Jim Cornelison of Blackhawks going to be belting out the lyrics of the national anthem. So going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
Sounds like a great event, Scott, and you'll sleep later. You know, at some point in your life anyway.
That's right.
ChicagolandSpeedway.com. Thanks for the update. Have fun this weekend. I'll see you Sunday.
Looking forward to it, Steve. Take care.
And we will do this. We've got a break coming back, and we will update you on everything you need to know. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom next. This is 720 WGN.
Live from the Ice of the Skies Festival in Lyle, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we got, set them free at the break of dawn.
Friday morning, 9:45, we are live in Lyle at the Ice of the Skies Festival. You know who heroes are? The Capital Gazette staff in Annapolis, Maryland, put out a newspaper this morning.
Yeah.
This is after the nightmare yesterday where a lunatic with a shotgun walked up to their front door and opened fire, killed four journalists and a sales assistant who were just going to work. And by the way, the reason, because we're not going to mention this guy's name, why make the creep famous? Famouser. He had a beef with the newspaper because he was stalking a woman for a number of years. It became a public case, just like the crime beat, right? Just like the local crime beat. And a story was written about the facts in the case. And from that moment on, he was sending threats, including death threats, to the staff, to the management. And yesterday, he went in and opened fire. He wasn't good enough to even kill himself. He hung around. He was taken into custody. And at last word, he wasn't cooperating. Steve, unless you have an update. Steve in that newsroom?
I don't know. This story is terrible.
Well, and the boss, I thought it was great. He said they weren't going to let that guy stop them from putting out the news today. Yeah, it's pretty
incredible. Of course we're putting out a damn paper. That's almost a direct quote. Donald Trump is headed for a couple of meetings, one with NATO and one apparently with Vladimir Putin.
Are any of those to open retail stores like Donald Trump Jr. was doing here?
What we haven't talked about this since the start of the show. Where's the store going to be?
Well, they were talking about in the Trump Tower, right?
Oh, it seems like you might know somebody there.
Yeah.
Maybe get a deal.
There's a lot. If you're familiar with the Trump Tower along the river, there's a lot of open storefront. There's storefront all actually all ground level all the way around it. It hasn't. I don't know if why. I don't know if that's on purpose or what. But there are.
There's a hair salon down there. I know. But yeah.
There's a lot of open space there, so it's not a bad thing that Junior would be here to try to develop that land, especially with the Riverwalk that is. And the mayor has talked about this. The idea that there is much more traffic on the river than even anticipated by the city. So it does make sense to have some real estate or retail presence in that building.
Well, look, this is no secret.
It's a beautiful building.
This is not me beating up on Donald Trump. The five-star restaurant at the top closed, and people are
16, I think it's reopening, though.
Well, I was told by people that ran it that they were having trouble with business because of the negative publicity around the president.
Yeah, I want to say, I believe I saw an alert.
$26 for a small plate.
What was that what they're doing? Tapas?
Yeah.
Tapas starting at $26.
I mean, you can blame it on the president, not liking the president, but you go to restaurants like 16 and others downtown, you're like, really? This is a salad? Wow, it's six, I can count it, there's six leaves. There's like one, two, three. Where's the arugula in here?
So you go to certain restaurants downtown, you go, where's the rest of the food?
Right.
Why are you only bringing this out? Where's the good stuff?
Yeah. I think yesterday I saw a Terrace 16 menu to shine this summer. So
there you go. They'll be back. That's a tremendous space, where 16 is at, because they have a terrace there that's up on the 16th floor.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That looks over. It's about the same level we're at with our studios back on the river.
We'll be able to actually watch people, I think, on the terrace from our new studio. Pete from McHenry won the White Sox tickets.
Good. Congratulations.
Love McHenry. That's where I went to high school, McHenry.
Is that right?
Yeah, McHenry West.
I didn't know that. Was that the Flying Horn Frogs?
It was the Flying Horn Frogs.
He listened to that sounder, and then he called in and was the seventh caller.
He was the seventh caller. There you go.
And where are the White Sox this weekend, Mark Carmen?
White Sox are in Texas. Going to be a little warm, a little toasty.
When they have their pregame, I used to watch, I had DirecTV, you could watch all of the games and watch the local feed. When the Rangers have their pregame, it's called, this is Ranger Baseball.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how they do it.
I can't imagine it's going to be hotter.
It's worth watching. It's really fun.
I mean, Arlington, the whole Dallas Metroplex is crazy hot this time of year, but it can't be any hotter than it's going to be here.
Yeah. No, that's probably true.
They do have a problem in Texas because their starters usually wilt in the summer. That's why they have trouble on that team, right? And in Texas, because the hotter it gets, the further the ball flies.
It's 84 right now in Arlington. It's going to be 99 today, 101 tomorrow, 102.
It's a dry heat.
So we're at least competitive.
We are competitive.
Yeah,
Okay. Here's my favorite headline of the morning. Facebook and Google have been accused of manipulating all of us with, quote, dark patterns. Pop-ups appeared around the time that the General Data Protection Agency, you know, the GDPR, were looking into it. Regulation requires companies using your data are transparent about what they do with it. Facebook, Google, and Microsoft have been showing their users these pop-ups to ensure they're on the right side of European law. The concern is, they worry that these tech giants are guilty of using dark patterns, design, and language techniques that make it more likely that users will give up their privacy. In other words, Facebook and Google are hypnotizing you.
What? That's so startling. What, my information online in Facebook and in Google is being distorted privately? What?
I should have probably broken it to you a little more gently.
Yeah. I know.
I'm so lazy. I ordered flowers for some people on Monday night. And it said, do you want to create an account? Or you can log in with your Facebook account. I'm like, log in right in with that Facebook. And then it says, we're going to share your stuff. I'm like, go right ahead.
Well, Mary, you make a great point, because the Amazon app that we talked about, Whole Foods, Facebook is a poster child. They're always a poster child for, what are they doing with my private data? Everybody's doing stuff with your private data, whether Google, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Facebook.
You should assume
they just,
that
for
nothing,
some reason, get
nothing
that.
On the internet is private. Yeah. You should just make that automatic assumption. And the settings are very simple to set. Good Lord, I'm 57. If I know how to do this stuff,
LifeLock guy, right?
I think Facebook takes the brunt of the accusations because Zuckerberg is a face. Like, we don't have a Whole Foods face to
there's
be mad
no
at if he's sharing my data.
There's no guy named Google.
And he's not a 30-year-old guy that you kind of want to fail, even though he did all this great, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of this is very simple to set up. Anytime somebody asks you for registering for something, it takes about 30 seconds to set up a bonus Gmail account where you dump every registration in. All of your junk mail goes there. All your spam goes there. And you don't have to deal with it in your regular email account.
I use my WGM radio email for that.
That's one possibility, sure. Yeah.
I just got huge value filling in today with that piece of advice.
Right?
Yeah, that was
and I bet you don't have a password locker either, do you, Junior?
No.
Password Locker. I've been preaching this forever.
I knew all of this stuff because I was a Hall & Oates fan back in the day. Private Eyes. I knew. Watching you. You guys all thought it was a Top 40 jam. And
it
I'm
was
like,
actually,
no,
they were just talking to you.
They were telling me all about what's going to happen in the 21st century.
That's very revelatory on your part, I think.
You make my dreams come true.
Either that or the heat's getting to you. It's 9:52. We'll come back, wrap it up from Lyle in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Eyes to the Skies Festival in Lyle.
Breaking LeBron James news. Mark Hummer.
LeBron James officially exercising his option. He is a free agent as of 2 minutes ago, Steve. So,
but that means nothing. That means that he's
just
going
means
to,
he's
going to
listen to offers.
He's going to listen to offers and he's going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers game.
Maybe. Or he's coming to the Bulls. One of the two.
Or Bulls.
So you're a basketball guy. Where's he going to go if he's not in Cleveland?
I think he's going to L.A. I actually created a song about it, Steve. It's one of the greatest things I've ever accomplished in my life.
All right. I don't think of you as a singer or a rapper. What style is this?
This is 70s, little circa. There's actually a video that's on my Facebook page and on my Twitter.
And this is from your work, allegedly work, at fansided.com?
Alleged work at fansided.com, yes.
All right. Hit it. Let me hear it.
Get into it. Feel it.
Is this an instrumental?
There's a moment coming.
Trust me. 720 WGN.
Well, you can't tell by the way he just won't talk. He's an L.A. man. Time to walk. Spotlight bright. Ohio home. An Akron man where he was born. Now it's all right. It's okay. Time for Brown to walk away. And we can try to understand the title's impact on the land.
That is fantastically bad.
Oh, is it bad?
Cab for Life. Posted where?
You can check out at the Carm on Twitter or my Facebook page.
Fantastic.
The video is, I gotta say, is spectacular.
Are you in garb that matches this theme of the song?
Garb, the whole thing. Yes, went to the Salvation Army, had a great,
fantastic.
Made some purchases.
Cab for Life, Mark Carman's first hit.
I hope Judy Pilak doesn't hear that. You should have gone to Goodwill.
You think, oh, that's right.
You know, I don't think that's the point of the bit.
Yeah, where you got the fly 70s leisure suit.
Special guest in for Bill F. next with Wendy. It's Wendy and Frank Fontana. Who saw that coming? Next on 720 WGN.